Blog Talk Radio.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Woo! To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power.
Come on. Come on, you declare it.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
There is power.
There is power
in the name.
In the name of Jesus.
We know where it is to break
every chain.
Break every chain.
Break every chain.
Come on, say to
break every. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain.
There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. There's an
Chain by Tasha Cobbs. We're so excited that the Lord has allowed us to come back another day and bring forth and kept us the weekend. So we're so blessed and honored to be on this broadcast this evening, afternoon. So I was glad, I'm going to read a scripture minute opening. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And you can find that in Psalms 122 verse 1. And I got it at the King James Version. Praise the Lord, everybody. Greetings in the name of Jesus Christ. We are so blessed. We are so blessed, I have to say that again, to be chosen by Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, to host this anointed radio broadcast. Thank you so much for tuning in to A Time of Reflection with New Destiny Ministries and Family, and I'm your co-host, Sister Ruby Larry, at this time. A Time of Reflection air Monday through Friday at 1 o'clock p.m. Pacific Time. Also, tune into Sunday morning prayer, early Sunday morning prayer, at 7 o'clock a.m. our time, Pacific Time. And our Saturday segment, They Overcame, with host Elder Albert and Minister Billy Burns of North Carolina at 8 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time. Our call-in number for all segments is 858-683-1334. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 5702, Stockton, California, 95205. Our email address is newdestiny54@yahoo.com. We always enjoy hearing from you. Email us or call in and join the live broadcast and give us your praise report and or any prayer requests if you choose so to want us to come bring it on the air. If you would like to listen to any of our previous broadcasts, please visit our archives or blogtalkradio.com and search for New Destiny Ministries, or visit our website at www.newdestinyministries.com. We appreciate and are very thankful for the tremendous support of our godly men and women of God that willingly share the anointed. Let me say that again. We are thankful for the tremendous support of the godly men and women of God that willingly share the anointed, powerful word of God with each of you that call in and those that visit this broadcast. Continue to pray God's will for this ministry. Don't sign off, because God has a rhema word just for you.
Amen, amen. God bless you all. Hallelujah. Truly, it's another day that the Lord has kept us. Amen. And we are thankful and grateful for his keeping power. No one can keep you like the Lord Jesus. Amen. So we thank you for tuning in. Pray everyone had a beautiful and blessed weekend. Amen, amen. We're going to continue on this celebration. Again, we thank God for our second year anniversary here on Blog Talk Radio, where we have impacted over 66,000 listeners. Now tell me, who else but God can cause an explosion such as that? But we're just so humble. We're thankful for the opportunity to be able to be on this broadcast live each and every day, lifting up the magnificent, wonderful, precious name of Jesus. For we know the scriptures say, there is no other name given among men whereby that we must be saved. But at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Amen. We're just so thankful to be here in the land of the living. This is, some call it in the world, Blue Monday. Amen. But I'm excited. This is another Monday that I've never seen before, December the 16th, 2013. Amen. So we're just thankful for that. We're going to be rebroadcasting a message today by Bishop Jesse Grant that was ministered on June 26th of this year. And the title of that message was Grace to the Humble. Amen. We're so thankful to see Prophetess Darlene. And we're going to ask her, God bless you, woman of God, if she would open up with the word of prayer for us on today, and then we're going to get right on into the message of the hour. Amen. God bless you, woman of God.
Praise the Lord. God bless you. I thank God for y'all. And I thank God that y'all have went through in another year, and I know it's God. God bless y'all. Let's go to the throne. There's so much I wanted to say, but we're going to go to the throne at this time.
Amen.
Heavenly
Amen.
Father, we just thank you. We just bless your holy name. We thank you, God, because you have kept us another day, God. We thank you that you have kept us another week, God, another month, another year, God. We thank you for your keeping power, God. We thank you for your healing power, God. We thank you for being all-knowing, God, all-wise, God. We thank you for your blood covering, God. Oh, God, we thank you, God, because we could not keep ourselves. You kept us, God. You kept us with our minds stayed on you, and we thank you, God. We thank you for clothes to wear, God, food to eat, shelter, God. We thank you. We don't take anything lightly or for granted, God. We thank you, God, for the Father and the Holy Ghost. We thank you, God, because you kept us through the storms, through the times, the bad times, God. We thank you for being a right now, God. All-knowing,
yeah.
God, all-wise, God. We thank
Hallelujah.
You for our families on today, God. We thank you for this broadcast, God, another year, God. Only you could do that, God. We thank
Only
you for
you.
Each and every caller, God. We thank you for each and every soul, God, that has came to this line, God. We thank you, God, for the overseer of this line, God. We thank you, God, for your grace and mercy being upon her. We thank you for the strength that you have restored her with, God. We thank you for the wisdom, the knowledge that you have gave her, God. We thank you for where you're taking her to, God. Hallelujah. We thank you, God, this afternoon, God. We thank you, God, for Ruby being there, God, at all times, God. We thank you for her lifting up the woman of God's arms, God. We thank you for the encouraging words that she gives, the prayers that she renders. We thank you for the things she does behind the scenes as well as on the scene. We thank you for her, God. We thank you for her family also, God. We thank you, God, for everyone that's listening to this broadcast on today, God. Oh, God, we thank you for what you're going to do, God. Right now I come to you, God, asking that you create us anew in our right spirit in you, God. If there's anything in us, God, put the searchlight on us, God, and move out, God, those things that's not pleasing unto you that's in us, God. Right now, God, we ask that you tear down every stronghold in our life, God.
Oh, God.
Lose every shackle, destroy every yoke, God, in the name of Jesus. Let us be pleasing unto you, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we look to the hills from which our help come from, and our help come from you, Lord, who made heaven and earth. We thank you for every speaker, God, and every speaker to come, God. We thank you for the rhema words and the knowledge, words of knowledge and wisdom they have gave. We thank you for the sacrifice they have made, God. Oh, God, we ask that you continue to touch them, guard them, and lead them in the mighty name of Jesus. We ask that you look down upon the sick and the shedding on today, God. We ask a special prayer upon Earlene Cummins, God, on today, God. Touch her, God, from the crown of her head to the bottom of her feet. Oh, let her feel you, God, like never before, God. Come into the room, God. Go into the room, God, in the name of Jesus. Saturate her, God. Breathe on her, God, in the name of Jesus. We speak life that she shall live and not die and declare the works of you, God. In the name of Jesus, we ask in God that you do a miracle that only you can do, God. So lay your hands upon her even now, God, in the name of Jesus. And not just her, God, go in the rooms, God, in those hospitals, God. We ask them for healing, God, on today, God. You said two or more touching and agreeing in your name. So we come in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That great name, when we call on your name, the demons have to flee. When we call on your name, every knee has to bow. Every tongue has to confess that you are Lord. So we're calling on that name, Jesus. We're in agreement. God, we're asking, God, that you look down upon your people, God. Go into the mental institutions on today. Restore somebody's mind, God, on today in the name of Jesus. We're asking, God, that you bring someone out, God, on today in the name of Jesus. We ask that you look down upon someone that's homeless, God. Oh, God, we're asking you to touch the homeless on today, God. We're in agreement, God. We're asking that you provide a home for someone on today, God, in the name of Jesus. If there's anyone listening on today, God, that need a job, God, we ask that you provide a job for them, God, not just a job, but a good job, God, a good paying job, God, in the name of Jesus. If anyone needs a house, a home, apartment, God, we ask that you provide, God, in the name of Jesus. Anyone feel like giving up today, God, restore, give them strength, give them hope today, God, in the name of Jesus. We come against the spirit of suicide on today, huh? We asking that you touch, God, the minds, God. Oh, God, we ask you to turn it around, God. Turn that situation around, God, for your glory, God. Oh, God, lift every downtrodden head on today, God, in the name of Jesus. Ah, God, people that's hurting in their spirit and hurting in their minds, God, we ask them for a healing, God. We ask that you blow on your people today, God, in the name of Jesus. We ask that you touch the fivefold ministry on today, God. Keep us going on, God. And you, let us be obedient to your word and to your will and to your way, God. Let us serve you, God, and no other God, God, in the name of Jesus. Let us continue to look to the hills, God. Let us continue to press to you, God. Continue to go forward in you, God, in the name of Jesus. I come against the spirit of division in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, bring the body of Christ together as a whole, God. One body, one mind, one spirit, one soul, that we do your work, that we be about kingdom building, God, that we be about souls for your glory, God, in the name of Jesus. So we move out everything that want to hinder the body from coming together in the name of Jesus. We bring the body together. We speak it in the name of Jesus. We proclaim it in the name of Jesus. And so we thank you right now for the body coming together as a whole, doing what you have called us to do, God, in these last days. And so we thank you, God. Oh, God, we praise you right now. We lift you up right now. We exalt you right now, God, because you are worthy to be praised, God. So we ask that you continue to have your way on this broadcast, God. In the name of Jesus, amen.
In Jesus' mighty name, thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah. We're going right on into our broadcast.
God bless you.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Tremendously by your second request for me to come and to share, to impart the word of the Lord unto these thy people. We certainly want to recognize your co-host, Evangelist Ruby Larry. Again, we are humbled and we praise God for yet another privilege to be able to share with the people of God, especially in this hour, a time of turmoil, a time of difficulty, and where all of us are facing one type of vicissitude or another, and it's imperative that we as the people of God remain steadfast and immovable, always abiding in the works of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain. We're excited, we're happy, we're delighted, and as I forestated, very privileged. So I'm not going to waste a lot of time with a lot of formalities, but let's get right into the word of the Lord for today. Your text that you gave me in James chapter 4, verse 6, as well as in 1 Peter. Two very powerful scriptures that I sometimes find that the people of God kind of skim over it, not really look at it in its proper context, and be blessed as a result of what the dynamics of grace really has done in the life of the believer. So before I really get into the heart of this thing, let us pray. Father, it's in the precious name of Jesus we come before you. We seek you now while you may be found. We call upon you while you're yet near. We honor and we praise you as the God of our salvation, realizing, God, that if it had not been for you that was on our side, then where would we be? We thank you that you have redeemed us from the curse of the law and that you have given us access into thy dear kingdom. We're no longer strangers, but we are now sons and daughters of the dear kingdom. We praise you now, God, for what you're going to do, that which you have done, and what you yet continue to do in our lives. So, God, we pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. We pray, God, that he that have an ear to hear, let them hear what the Spirit has to say unto the church. For this we do ask in the precious name of Jesus. Now, Satan, we serve notice on you that this word will be cause for you to be condemned, for you to be bound, for the people of God to be edified, for you to be horrified, and for God to be glorified. For this we do ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we embark upon the Word of God on today, let us clearly understand with the time that remains for us to delve right into it. As we look at James chapter 4 and verse 6, wherein it says, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble." It's imperative, it is essential, it is absolutely necessary for us to really fully understand, grasp the totality of what the Apostle James is trying to convey to us as he embarks upon what is termed the doctrine of grace. So he says, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble." The term humble in the Greek word is telemnia, which basically means to depress, figuratively speaking. Its meaning is to humiliate, or in condition or heart, abase, bring low, humble. From the biblical perspective, it means health as free of pride. Pride makes God your enemy. Always be mindful of that. The word of the Lord reminds us consistently that God resisted the proud. Let's examine this in its totality. To be humble, and the word pride in the Greek language, again, is telumia, which means to inflate with self-conceit, high-minded, be lifted up with pride, be proud. I think one of the greatest mistakes that is being made by those that participate in the mindset that because you're saved, that it makes you any better than anyone else, when in the reality, when you understand fully what God has done in the life of us one and all, the saved, the redeemed, the sanctified, the called of God, the baptized believer, those of us who have been born again, when you fully understand what God has done, let's look at it from this perspective. When you consider where you have come from, the life of sin, let's clarify that no sin, one sin is any greater than other. There is a widespread misnomer that has been circulated since the beginning of time as God interacted with mankind, that people somehow have thought that if I don't do this type of sin or that type of sin, that makes me a little bit better than someone else. Well, I like to kind of correct that, because he did not have to die any less or any harder for the minor sin, as we would call it, or for the greater sin. The same death was paid. So we have to all understand that all of us were sinners at one time. But within the law, let's examine that. I need to slow down a little bit. When you understand, the law had to be presented to God's creation, to his humanity, so that we could clearly understand where we were missing the mark, that we were not coming up to God's standard. As an end result of that, Paul says that the law in and of itself, that there was no provision to bring about salvation. There was no methodology, there was no procedure, there was no protocol that was established within the continuity of the law to bring about salvation. It showed us that the law was designed to show us that where we failed God, and what was necessary to get on track with God. It became our schoolmaster. It pointed out our indiscretions. It pointed out our sins. It pointed out our inabilities to please God. And that if we would not continue, if we were to continue to be disobedient, to be rebellious, and to kick against what God said and opt to do things our own way, that the end result would be our damnation. So having said that, let's kind of fast forward so that we understand the reality and the dynamics of grace. One theologian says that grace is characterized as God's redemptive act at Christ's expense. That's the sum total of it, but let's get into the finite qualities of what grace really is. Grace in the Greek is charis, and the word means unmerited favor being bestowed upon an undeserved people. When you look at the law, when you look back at our lives as God saw our lives and yet continues to see our lives, especially those who yet remain in sin, who are not redeemed, who have not given their lives over to the will of God. Grace now looks at us and gives us something that we don't even deserve. There is nothing that any of us could ever do that warrants or merits the grace of God. The grace of God has been extended toward an undeserved people with the sole express purpose of showing the loving kind-heartedness of God. Again, extended, given, granted, favored to an undeserved people. The word of the Lord in the Old Testament tells us that all of our righteousness is but a filthy rag in the sight of God. So you can never look at yourself and say, oh, because I did not do this sin, I didn't lie, I didn't cheat, I didn't commit adultery, but somewhere you were an offense to the law. You were a lawbreaker. You did not uphold to do and observe to do all that God had commanded. So God looked at us and he classified us as sinners. But then he had such great compassion toward us. He had what is termed agape love. Agape love is an unconditional love. So God says, I love you enough in spite of what you have done, in spite of what you continue to do, I can love you beyond that. That's why the believer has to grasp and appreciate the fact that love hides a multitude of faults. Because if God really looked at us, he would no doubt want to condemn us. So we now have to examine what mercy does. Mercy is something that keeps us from receiving something that we should receive, whereas grace gives us something that we don't even deserve. There is nothing under the sun that we could ever do that God could look at and say, okay, you've done A, B, C, X, Y, and Z, and so therefore I'm going to grant you grace. No, it doesn't work that way. Grace works on this wise. God looks at us and says, okay, I love you in spite of your wrongdoings. I can love you enough to do and to design a mechanism that can bring you back to me, because sin is the key component that separates God from man and man from God. The only one that can bridge the gap between God and man is his dear son Jesus Christ, because he has the plan of salvation. He knows what it takes to get back to God. That's why he says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except he come by me. So he's the entranceway. He's the gatekeeper. He is the one that has the methodology. He has the process. He has the protocol. He has all of the essential things that's necessary to bring us back to God. So grace is something that has been given or granted unto us that we should learn how to appreciate, not take it for granted, not abuse it, not become high-minded and thinking that we're better than anyone else. But it should bring us into a lower state. It should bring us into a place of humility. It should bring us into a reality that we didn't save ourselves. There was nothing in us that God saw that he could really love. But yet he could look beyond all of that and recognize the need that we had. So we ought to thank God that he cared enough for us to give us his only begotten son. He didn't have to do that. But in order for him to fulfill his own word, for the Bible says in the Old Testament, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. So look at it from this perspective. If there was nothing that we could do that would then bring us to a posture, to a position where God could, by his own word, judge us, condemn us, find us guilty, and then take our lives from us. But he fulfills the requirements of the law. The law says, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. Watch what our God does for us. He turns around and he allows his dear son Jesus Christ to become the sacrificial lamb, that he could pay the penalty for all of man's sins, time past eternity, time present eternity, and time future eternity. So because of Christ Jesus becoming the sacrificial lamb, he takes upon the sins of the entire world. Once again, time past, time present, and time future eternity. He takes all of that upon his own shoulders. He says, I will do this. When the question was asked in heaven, who can go down and redeem man? Redeeming means who can purchase him back, who can pay the price that can bring mankind back to God. Christ says when all else had failed, no one else was able to go down, Christ says, prepare me a body and I'll go down and I'll redeem man from the curse of the law. I will give man the right and the privilege. I will give him access. I will show him that if he follows me, if he observes to do all that I've commanded, if he follows me, if he takes becomes submissive and then becomes to a place and to a posture where he will do what's required, meeting the prerequisites, bring salvation to him, then I'll bridge the gap between him and man. So when you think about it from this perspective, that here is a God that says, I have every right to destroy you, and I yet have every right to redeem you. My right to redeem you is based upon the fact that I love you, and I love you unconditionally, irregardless to what any of us has ever done. Don't allow people to make you feel that because your sin was not as, their sin was not as great as yours. There is no such mindset that should ever be entertained by anyone, because all of us were candidates for hell. But if it had not, once again, been for the Lord that was on our side, the one that comes down to bridge the gap between God and man, to bring us back into right relationship, to redeem us from the curse of the law. Don't take the attitude that we're better than anyone else. And the reality is that we should be humbled. We should become of a low estate. We should not be high-minded and think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. It should put us and posture us and position us into a place where we are filled with gratitude. The gratitude being that, God, you could have destroyed me, but you had a purpose. You had a plan for my life. You had a divine plan for my life. You had a purpose for me in the kingdom. In order for that to be fulfilled, then you were gracious enough to me. You granted me something I did not deserve. You have given me something that I should not have gotten, but your love says I can love you in spite of yourselves, and so therefore I'm going to give you, as one scholar says, another chance. A chance to do it right, a chance to come into the kingdom, a chance to be no longer a stranger, but to now become a citizen of God's kingdom. I'm going to bring you into right relationship with me. I'm going to work with you. I'm going to mold you. I'm going to shape you. I'm going to fashion you according to my expressed will. There is a purpose. All of us, the question has always been asked, and yet remains to be asked of many people even today. What's my purpose in life? The major purpose, let's put aside your gifting, your talent, and your skills and your ability. Your purpose in life is to fulfill the will of God for your life. in order to determine what his will is, you have to have a relationship with him. You have to abide in him. He has to abide in you. Going back to grace. Grace puts us in a position where we are now no longer strangers, but we're sons and daughters of God's dear kingdom. That's a wonderful thing. You no longer have to feel that you're an orphan, that you no longer have a right to come before the throne of grace, because what grace does, grace brings us into position where we can come boldly before the throne of grace. We don't have to wonder, do we have a right to be there? He's given us access. When he tells Peter, Peter, I've given you the keys to the kingdom. So when you have keys to a door, that means that you're being granted access. I was preaching a message some time ago, and I took all of the keys that I have this tremendous bunch of keys, and I handed it to someone in the audience, and I said, now, I've given you keys, but if I don't show you what it'll unlock, then they serve you no purpose. So Christ shows us when he gives the keys to Peter, gives us, he's saying, I grant you access into the kingdom. I grant you access into what God has available to the believer, the strength, the power, the joy, the peace, the love, the harmony, all that one needs to fulfill the will of God, God says, now I've given you access to it. So grace must be appreciated. Grace must be received. It must be embraced. It must be loved. It must be the instrument that humbles us. It should bring us into the recognition, once again, that there was nothing in and of ourselves that God could look at and say, I'm going to go ahead and save you because you have done this, that, and the other. There was a misinterpretation. There's a misnomer that people think that if I do all of the good stuff, then I'm going to make it in. That's totally a misnomer. The reality of the matter is that you are saved unto good works. You're not saved. You're not doing good works to get saved. But once you are saved, now you are to proceed to do what God requires of us. What does God require? That we love one another. That we love one another as Christ has loved us. We have an obligation that we begin to respond, that we begin to react, we begin to interact with one another in the same fashion that Christ has done us. Don't become arrogant because you're saved and God is mightily using you. Don't think that because God has given you gifts and talents, skills and abilities that are for his glory, not for your own glory. Don't allow the crowd to pat you on the back and tell you how marvelous and how wondrous and how splendorous you are. Don't allow that to go to your head. Don't allow that to feed into your ego, because now you become prideful. How dare any of us? Now I feel it now, Evangelist. I feel it. I really feel it. Don't take the posture, don't take the position to think that you're some great somebody, because you are replaceable. You are expendable. God can do without you. The problem is that we don't really recognize, I'm afraid to admit, in this day and age, we don't appreciate the fact that we need God. If God says that I want to use you, you ought to be grateful. It ought to humble you. You ought to feel that here is this God, the creator of the ends of the universe. He decides out of all the people in the earth that he wants to use me. I should not feel great. I should not feel grand. I should not become egotistical in that, because there was a greater plan. God must get the glory, not me. Don't salute me. Don't clap for me. Don't pat me on the back and tell me what a great job I'm doing, because I don't have a right to receive that kind of accolation. I don't have the right to receive that kind of applause, because it's not me that's doing it. It's God who does it. So get a grip. Get a grip. Get a grip. That's what I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying. Get a grip on yourself. Don't get carried away with yourself in thinking that we are some great some persons. Again, we're expendable. God can replace us at a moment's notice. So we have to honor God. Here is the God.
That one again.
He's the God who has created us. I'm afraid, evangelist, what is happening from where I sit, from what I see oftentimes. This is not an indictment against everyone. It's an indictment against those that are partakers of it. How dare any of us? We did not create ourselves. God created us, and therefore the things that God has granted unto us that we should not take credit for. How can the creature take credit for its own creation when we didn't have the capacity, the propensity to create? God is our creator. So let's establish that. If God is our creator and God decides to use us, who receives the glory? Or who should receive the accolade? Who should receive the applause? Who should receive the blame? Certainly not us. Because we didn't have the capacity, we didn't have the wisdom, the knowledge, and we didn't have all of the things that it took to bring us into existence. God did. So therefore, when you look at how wonderfully and marvelous God has made you and shaped you and fashioned you into his own will, that he could take us in our sins, in our degradation, in our mess, in our transgressions, and say, I love you enough that I'm going to save you. I'm going to clean you up. I'm going to fix you up. I'm going to give you a new identity. I'm going to give you a new mindset. I'm going to give you things that you don't even deserve. You don't deserve my love, but I'm going to give it to you. You deserve my wrath and my judgment, but I'm going to withhold it. So therefore, you ought to appreciate the mercies of God. Because at any given point in time, God could say, when you mess up, when you fail to do what God has commanded you to do, he could literally wipe you out. He has the right to do that. But again, because mercy is the twin to grace, so it works on this wise. Mercy says, I have the right to hold back the judgment of God. So don't get cocky. Don't get yourself into a posture, into a position where you begin to think you're all of that in a bag of chips, because the reality is you're not. None of us are. All of us, according to the word of God, are nothing but filthy rags in the sight of God. And all of us are but a viper. We're just as the grass faded. We're all going to fade away. So don't get carried away over how gifted and talented and anointed you are. It's for God's divine glory that is to be received, and he is to be appreciated for how he uses any one of us. So let's how do we humble ourselves now? How do we get to the place that we don't become egotistical? How do we come to the place wherein we can really show God by the way that we live? By the way that we live, we can show our humility. It reminds me of a story where there were two sisters that were talking. Two sisters in the church, and they were talking, and they had met in the supermarket or someplace in the shopping mall, and they began to talk about their individual pastors. And so the one sister, she says, Sister Anklefoot says, oh, my pastor is such a loving, kind-hearted person. And so the other sister, Sister Anklebone, she decides to say, well, my pastor is such a humble man. So the first sister says, yeah, but he's proud of it. Pride is a destructive mechanism. It can literally destroy who we are in God. It can destroy who God has intended for us to be. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a great fall. Pride, as I said earlier, pride causes God to become our enemy. And the last entity that you want in life is for God to become your enemy. Because who can stay the hand of God? Who can hold back his wrath? So let's get back to grace. So grace is the redemptive act at Christ's expense. Christ gets up on the cross of Calvary. He gives up his life so that you and I could be saved. You and I could be redeemed from the curse of the law. So he brings us by the salvational plan into his dear kingdom. He establishes us. He calls us. He identifies us in the term of fellowship as to be as dear to him as his only begotten son. So we're no longer strangers, Paul says. We are now no longer aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, but we are now citizens of the commonwealth. We've been given access to something we didn't deserve. So now we have access. We have acceptability because God now accepts us. The acceptance is that he now says, you're my son, you're my daughter. You ought to thank God for that. That in and of itself, because we were bastards, according to the Old Testament. Pastor is not being profane. The word bastard is in the Old Testament. We were in this world, but had no God on our side. So now he becomes our God. We become his dear sons and his dear daughters. Look at what Christ had to endure. Look at what he had to suffer in our stead. And how dare us take a posture of arrogance in thinking that we're something super great, something super fabulous, something super spectacular because we're saved. No, no. We're saved by nothing that we've done in and of ourselves. We're saved because God cared enough to send his dear son, Jesus Christ, to die upon the cross for all of us, the ungodly. So he pays the penalty. He ransoms us back out of the hand of the enemy. He now brings us into right perspective and right relationship with our Creator. And the marvelous thing, Paul says, when you really deal with grace, that again, because there was no provision, there was no protocol, there was no mechanism, there was no mythology wherein we could be saved under the law. So when Paul deals with the doctrine of grace, if you really want to really clearly understand the doctrine of grace and what it does, because I don't have time, it would take me weeks and months to really teach it as it ought to be taught, scripture by scripture, line upon line, and precept upon precept. But perhaps maybe it'll be in one of the books that God is allowing me to write. So Paul says that when you examine the qualitativeness of grace, you have to really look at the book of Romans all the way through, because Paul says that these are the components, these are the dynamics of grace. We're justified by the grace of God. The term justification simply means that when God looks at us and looks at his dear son, he sees us, hear this clearly, God sees us as a finished product.
Ooh.
He does not see us because he has confidence in his dear son, knowing that his dear son understands what it's going to take to bring us into perfection, what it's going to take for us to be able to meet him in that great kidnap morning, as the old saints of God used to say. He knows what it's going to take. He has the furnishings. He has the instrumentation. He has the dunamis. He has the power. He has everything that is essential to bring us into our relationship with God. So God says, I'm going to go back into eternity. I'm going to sit there and wait for Christ to present you unto me. So Paul says that when God now looks at us, he does not look at us and see us as the miserable, wretched individuals that we were. He sees us as a finished product. Yet even though the work that Christ does is a continuous work, but again, you have to understand, appreciate, God is looking at it from a finished standpoint. Christ is looking at it from a standpoint where he's continuously working on us. So God says, when I see you, I don't see your sins, because your sins are now covered under the blood. Because if God saw our sins, if he were to overlook Christ in our lives, his purpose, then he would say, I'm sick of you, I'm just going to wipe you out and start all over again. But he says, I've entrusted my dear son to bring you to me, to present you faultless, without spot, wrinkle, or any other such blemish. So let me throw this in here for us, because the clock is ticking, and there's so much that I want to say and desire to say. So term justification means the simplicity of it without going through all of the Greek analog. It simply means that God looks at us as if it never, ever happened. How marvelous is that? That God does not hold our past against us. The problem is that the average believer has a problem with identifying that their past has been forgiven. And when you don't understand and embrace the fact that it is by the grace of God that your sins have been forgiven, then you're going to struggle with forgiving yourself. God is saying to us in this hour, if I can forgive you, the next step is for you to forgive yourself. Because I'm not holding it against you. And it's unfair for anybody, anywhere, to hold anyone hostage to their past. Because whom the Son sets free is now free indeed. You have been freed from your past. If there's anything that you're going to do with your past, is to look at it and look at the mistakes you have made and to thank God he's not holding it against you, but that he's now creating you into being something that God will appreciate. So, thank God for his grace. Thank God for the fact that he cared enough to send his only begotten Son to save us, to redeem us from the curse of the law. Thank God for the fact that God cares enough about you that even when you fall, he's there to pick you up. Look at the dynamics of grace. Grace says that God loves you enough that he doesn't want to see you struggling the way you do. So therefore, he gives you the earnestness of his spirit. He gives you his dunamis. He gives you his power. Power to overcome. Power to stabilize yourself. Power to overcome the sin in your life. Paul says, don't use grace as an occasion to the flesh. Plus, simply because you are saved by grace. Because there is a doctrine that exists. I support that doctrine. Time again does not allow me to deal with it. The doctrine of eternal security. The sum total of eternal security means that the work that was necessary to bring about salvation, that's complete. Christ does not have to get back up on the cross and die all over again every time a sinner sins. It's all been forgiven. But we don't know and can experience that forgiveness until such time as we come to Christ. Then Christ assures us, God's not holding this against you. He loves you. In spite of yourself, he loves you. But now let's don't get it twisted. Simply because God loves you does not mean that he's going to condone your mess, your foolishness. Paul says, don't be again entangled to the yoke of bondage. Stand fast in the liberty wherein Christ has made you free. You don't have to any longer be bound by sin. Sin no longer has captivity over your life. It no longer serves as your hard taskmaster. Not if you're free, if you're free in him. You have power over sin, even the sin in your own flesh. You have given, through the grace of God, you've been given the ability to overcome. You're an overcomer by the grace of God. You have kinship. You have sonship. You're postured into the kingdom by the grace of God. You have joy that you did not have before by the grace of God. Your joy is now full and complete. The thing that bothers me, evangelist, the thing that disturbs me, that for all that God has done and yet continues to do for his people, we sometimes act like he's not doing enough. We sometimes can walk around like we got a chip on our shoulders and you better not bother me. Don't say nothing to me. I'm having a bad day. How can you have a bad day when God furnishes you with the tenacity, the fortitude, the drive, and the stamina to make it through anything? God has equipped us and he has given us the tools that's necessary to overcome any sin in our lives. He has given us the dunamis of his power. He's given us the earnestness of his spirit that we can put the devil on the run. We don't have to run from the devil. We can tell the devil because we have the power. We have the authority. The Bible says, whatever you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven. Whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. You have been given the authority. God help me here. You've been given the authority. And I'm afraid that the believer in the postmodern Christian church is not using that power. Whenever something is wrong, we want everybody to pray for us. No, you can take authority over that thing yourself. You can tell the devil, back up here. It's not going to happen. I'm not going to tolerate this. I'm going to rebuke you, and the blood of Jesus is against you. But now, if you're not sure, let me throw this into the pot of soup. If you're not sure that you're saved or not, you better find out for certain. Because a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Grace stabilizes us. It shows us who we are in God and who God is in us. Now, that does not mean that we walk around in arrogance. We walk around in the confidence, in the assurance that we're saved, that we are the called out ones. We are the redeemed of God. Therefore, now we walk in the confidence of the strength of his might, the strength of his power. We don't walk around arrogant and thinking that we're better than anyone else, that I got it going on and all of that, because grace extends us favor. Favor is the blessings of the kingdom. Everything that the believer needs is accessible in the kingdom of God. God does not have to go back. I don't care whatever we want, whatever we need, whatever we desire. The Bible says for every right desire, there is a blessing. But God meets our needs. He furnishes us daily. That's why I love the motto prayer, Our Father which art in heaven. It goes on to say how he gives us daily bread, the substance, what you need to make it through any day. It comes through the grace of God. Your new mercies and new grace you see every day. So you're equipped, you're qualified, you've been given the wherewithal, you've been given the tenacity, the fortitude, the drive, the stamina to get through anything. You don't have to fear what man can do to us, because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We can walk in the confidence that no weapon that's formed against us can prosper. It cannot, because anything that comes against us, then the spirit, when the enemy would come in like a flood, then the spirit of God will lift up a standard against it. So God becomes our ability to resist. He stands up in us, and he shows us that we can handle whatever comes our way. Mm-hmm. Don't fret because of the fact that you're going through a storm. The reality of a storm is that God sets his feet on the sea, and he rides on every storm. Mm-hmm. Look at who you are in God. Look at what you can accomplish in God. Mm-hmm. Look at the joy, the peace, and the love, and the happiness you have in him because of grace. Mm. Humble yourself. Just come on down, and let's just get on down and humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. God is our ruler. God is our king. He's our father. And so we have to humble ourselves. Submit means that we have to give in to him. We have to surrender anything unto him. If God say, I don't want you to have it, then don't desire to have it.
Oh.
Because God knows what's best for us. We have to trust this God that knows our end from our beginning. We have to get to the place of understanding who we are in God. Once again, I can't help but say it enough. Don't get cocky. Don't get coy. Don't walk around like the ABC peacock thinking that you're grand and you're marvelous and you're beautiful and you're just simply the wonderfulest thing that God has ever made. Thank God that he could have left you in the state that you were. For in your sins, when he saw you polluted in your blood, he could have passed you over, but he decided not to. He said, I'm going to take you, I'm going to clean you up, I'm going to fix you up, I'm going to make you better than you've ever been. So now you ought to appreciate this God. You ought to glorify this God. You ought to lift your hands. You ought to praise him every chance, every opportunity that you get. That God, I thank you that I'm saved. I'm no longer a stranger to you. I have access to you. I can come boldly before the throne of grace. For in the time of trouble, you have promised to hide me. What, you are my secret pavilion. You have demonstrated to me that you are my provider. You are my healer. And so, God, I love you. or nothing. So, God, if you don't want me to be arrogant, God, then help me to humble myself. Help me to understand. Help me to be abased. Help me to keep my feet firm on the ground and not get lifted up in the crowd, in the clouds, and think that I'm more than I actually am. Yes, be confident in who you are in God. But confidence is entirely different than arrogance. Because now confidence says I can walk around knowing that I'm a child of the King and I don't have to fear what man can do to me. Because again, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I don't have to get discombobulated. I don't have to get eradicated because folk don't love me. But I've experienced the love of God, unconditional love. If you don't love me, that's your problem. I thank God that he loves me. But I can turn around, and here is the flip side of grace, because I need to come to a close. I see the clock closing on me. We who have received grace, hear me and hear me well, saints of God, those of us who have received the grace of God, appreciate the grace of God, so therefore we must also give grace. Let our conversations be seasoned with grace. Just because you can tell the truth and you can shame the devil and because you can call it what it is, you don't have to do it pridefully. You don't have to do it in the sense that, you know, I've got a stick and I'm going to hit you in the head with it, but let your conversation be seasoned with grace. I think I posted it not too long ago that sometimes you can say what you have to say, but you don't have to be rude or nasty about it. Say it in love. When you feel a need to correct someone, to exhort someone, that's what the term exhort means, to correct them. You don't have to look at them and say, oh, my God, look at you doing what you do. Hey, again, if it had not been for the grace of God, where would you be? Let's stop as I try to hasten to a close because I feel my pot boiling. I feel my help coming here. We need to understand that.
Don't you all right?
Don't condemn the prostitute. Don't condemn the dope addict. Don't condemn the dope pusher. Don't condemn the thug. Don't condemn people who are yet in their sins. Because again, baby, sisters and brothers, if it were not for the grace of God, you would be doing the same thing, if not even something worse. Have enough compassion, because as you have received compassion, then be compassionate one toward another. As you have received mercy, be merciful one to another. As you receive the joy of the Lord, help give someone else joy. If God has blessed you to sit in heavenly places, have enough love, enough unconditional love to reach down and grab somebody and say, may I introduce you to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you ask, think, or even can imagine. Stop frowning and looking at people as if they are just purity dirt, because the reality of it is you're nothing but dirt yourself. Because if you don't believe that you're dirt, I don't care. You can get in the bathtub and you can put Calgon, take me away. You can put in your favorite bath gels and all of that, and your shower gels. And when you get out, I promise you, if you take an alcohol swab and rub it across your body, you're going to discover there is still some dirt. So don't get carried away in thinking that your dirt is better than anybody else's dirt. Because dirt is just dirt. And dirt is everywhere. But thank God that God is cleaning us up, that God is preparing us to meet him in glory. Thank God that God cared enough for you to save you, because, again, he could have left you where you were. So now when you see other people who are in that state that you once were, don't look at them and say, oh, my God, look at you. No, look at you. Because God is looking at you, because you have been saved not to walk around like the ABC peacock, but you've been saved that you might be able to save others. When you understand the dynamics of the ministry of Jesus Christ, he taught the disciples how to teach others. We must teach others how to love one another, how to be forgiving, how to have compassion, how to be pitiful with them that are pitiful, how to rejoice with them that rejoice. We act like because you got a new car and you shouldn't have got it. Well, what about the house you got? Do you really deserve the house you got? if it were not for the fact that favor was upon your life because your credit was jacked up probably worse than mine. So don't be hating on someone else because they got something and you can't figure out how they got it, because if truth be told, if it were not for the grace of God, you wouldn't have what you have.
That's it, Bishop.
You wouldn't have the house you have. You wouldn't have the car you drive. You wouldn't be able to go into Macy's and Bloomingdale's and Neiman Marcus and wherever you shop, Marshall's, TJ Maxx, wherever it is. If God had not favored you and blessed you with a few pennies in your pocket, allowed your credit to be repaired, okay? Don't walk around and feel you've got stuff in your house that the tags are still on and you're still shopping and still flooding your house out with clothes. And then you'll look at somebody on the street corner and say, oh, my God, look at you. No, no. God didn't bless you to store your blessings up. He blesses you to share your blessings.
Oh. Woo, Jesus.
We got to come to that place, Evangelist, that this thing will make tears come to my eyes, because I'm frustrated. I'm vexed when I see the people of God look around now. There was a time when I grew up in holiness where we cared about one another.
Yeah.
If I didn't see you at church, I had to find out what's the problem.
Ooh.
Maybe you didn't have car fare. Maybe you didn't have food to eat. Perhaps you didn't have stockings or shoes or a dress to wear.
Ooh.
And you might have been too embarrassed to come. Here was a brother that didn't have a white shirt and a nice tie to wear. And here I've got 300 ties in my closet, and I'm not supposed to share that. Come on, people. We have got to get this thing together. Don't walk around and talk about all the fine stuff that you have, and then you see your neighbor, you see somebody sitting next to you in church that doesn't even have enough money to buy a church dinner, and here you're rolling in the dough. You're bawling and a shot caller, and you're getting out there jumping in your fine car, and you see them stand on the bus stop, and you refuse to give them a ride. That's not exactly the grace of God. Just as freely as you have received, freely you ought to give. People should not have to beg us to love them. We didn't have to beg God to love us. God said, I love you unconditionally. Stop coming up with reasons and rhymes and reasons as to why you want to love people. Love them in spite of themselves. I don't care who they are. John Gacy, love him anyhow. Because you love people does not mean that you are condoning or that you agree with what they do, but it says that by the same grace that loved me, I now must love you.
Yeah.
Because if truth were to be told, Evangelist, we're living in a world, we're living in a society where I've said this time and time again, that you can sit beside somebody in church, on the bus, in the restaurant, walk past somebody in the mall. You don't know what someone else is going through with.
Yes,
have some compassion. You don't know why that young man is walking around with his pants sagging down. Perhaps maybe you showed him a little love and showed him that you cared something about. Maybe you could encourage him to pull his pants up. You walk around and you point your finger at the little young lady who walks around, and she perhaps may be dressing too provocatively, but because now you're saved and you're wearing your clothes appropriately and everything, now you want to frown at. No, no. Where is the love? Where is the love?
Jesus.
God said, I loved you with your mini dress on. How come you can't love her with hers on?
Come on.
I loved you with all that Jerry curl and all that other stuff you had in your hair. Now you want to frown at somebody else because they got four or five different colors in their hair?
Come on, Bishop.
You want to sit and you want to be judgmental and look at people like they're beneath you? How dare you? How dare any of us, me included, how dare even I to look down upon anyone? Because if it were not, again, I can't help but to say it now, if it were not for the grace of God, there's no telling where I would have been. Growing up on the south side of the city, I could have been a Blackstone Ranger. I could have been a pimp. I could have been a drug dealer. I could have been addicted to drugs.
Yeah.
I could have been an alcoholic like my father was. But thanks be to God that gave me the victory. So I cannot walk past somebody now and I see them liberated out of their mind. I see them drunker than a skunk. I cannot look down at them. If I'm going to look down, it ought to be so I can see how far I need to reach down pull you up and introduce you to the one that saved me. And if he has the power to save me with my messed up self, he can save you. By thy loving kindness have I drawn you, not by beating people over the head and talking about how terrible they are and you don't understand how they do what they do. They do it the same way you did it because they were in the clutches of Satan. God had not freed us, had not come down and went into the pits of hell and set at liberty them that were held in captivity, we would still be in our mess. And let's be honest. Let's be honest, believers. Let's be honest. You still got some stuff in us, every last one of us. We have not reached perfection. We're being perfected, and truth were to be told, and we really want to be transparent. We still got some proclivities. We still got some issues. But we've managed to put the makeup on, and we can hide it real well. We can dress this thing up real well, and we can walk around like we really all got it all together. But who knows us better than God knows us?
Hallelujah.
So therefore, as I try to conclude, don't get carried away because God is using you. Count it a privilege.
Jesus.
God, I thank you that out of all the people in the earth, this is the problem. This is the problem that Israel had that caused them to be arrogant and stiff-necked and hard-headed and rebellious, because when God said to them, he says, out of all the nations in the earth, I chose you to be my people. He's not saying I'm a respecter of people, but I just want to use you in this example to show you that what it is to have me as your God and you my people, so that all the other nations can then turn around and call you blessed. Not for you to walk around and thinking you're more than anyone else, no, but to show them the benefits of serving the true and the living God. Share with them how God becomes your battle axe in the time of war, how he becomes your bridge over troubled water, how he becomes your sustainer. Show people that because I'm blessed, I don't have to be arrogant. I can humble myself to realize, because the humbling factor comes in by knowing you didn't get it by yourself.
Come on.
That job you got making six figures, if God had not given you the intellect, if God had not given you the wisdom to be able to go to school, get your degrees, and now you've gotten your degrees, now you've gotten your master's, your BA, your THD, your DD, your PhD, you've gotten all your degrees, and now you want to look at someone else that have dropped out of high school, you have an obligation. As a believer, to help somebody else get what you have. The whole thrust, I'm afraid to report, and this causes me grave concern. If God stripped us from our titles, if God says, I'm no longer going to call you a bishop, or an apostle, a prophetess, a prophet, an evangelist, an elder, and whatever our titles are. We're so title-driven now. Don't mess around and put me on program and don't spell my name correct and don't put a handle to my name, then I'm going to feel offended. What about the fact of just being a servant of the Most High God? Could that be enough? That's the way it ought to be. Just ought to be glad to be able to serve the Lord in gladness. Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. You think this mess we're doing is acceptable in the sight of God? Do you think that sometimes you're sitting in a restaurant and you're running down all the other saints in your congregation, and here the waitress is saying, y'all are supposed to be children of God, y'all are supposed to be saints, y'all are supposed to be Christians, then you want to turn around, don't leave a tip, you're nasty, get over here and bring me some coffee. When am I going to get my bread? Take this back. That's rude. That's nasty. That's not demonstrating the fact that you are a child of the King. The people of God ought to be a sweet people. They ought to be the kind of people that people want to be around you, not run when they see you. Because again, by thy loving kindness have I drawn you. So we have been drawn to Christ because he loved us and he demonstrated that love. And now you wonder why in the world don't nobody want to follow you to church. Look at you with your mean, nasty self.
My.
Look at how rude you can be. You sitting in my seat. What seat you got? You ought to be grateful when people come in. And now sometimes people, not everybody, but some folk come in the church now and they are made to feel like you have no right to be here.
My God. Hallelujah.
Truth be told, none of us have a right to be where we are.
Thank you.
None of us have a right to be able to say in the name of Jesus. None of us have the right to have been given the authority that God has invested in us. None of us deserve the chance that we have.
Come on.
And guess what? Not only does he give you a second chance, but if you stop and think about it, really stop today, beloved sons and daughters of God, ladies and gentlemen, if you were to really stop and really think about it, God does not have to bless you. He doesn't owe you anything. If anything, we owe him.
Yes, Lord.
We owe him a debt of gratitude. With the spirit of gratefulness and not the spirit of arrogance. Lord, I thank you that I could have lost my mind when I was going through all of... Jesus, help me here. Going through all the stuff I've gone through in the last 30 days, I could have lost my mind, but because of your grace and your mercy, you have regulated my disturbed mind. So now, when I see someone else that's going through a hard time, a hard situation, Lord, what can I say? How can I minister to them? How can I encourage them? How can I lift them up? How can I build them up in their most holy faith? Because, again, if somebody had not come and shared the word of God with you, if someone had not come in your hour of desperation, if someone had not come to you, dispatched by God, to bring the word from the Lord, then you would have been miserable. You still would have not been able to make it. So when you have received of God, be ready. Somebody say be ready. Be ready to go out and help somebody else. Be ready to encourage somebody else. Catch that little girl by the head that's having children out of wedlock. Instead of you thumbing your nose up at her, I don't see how in the world she can have all them children the same way you had all yours.
Glory.
And you wasn't, and some of y'all wasn't married. Some of us were not married when we had these children.
That's right.
But when you see the error of your ways, you are compelled. God constrains us. God demands that we have enough compassion for someone else to say, young lady, come here. Let me tell you about the Lord that can help you. You don't have to give yourself away. If you're going to give yourself away, give yourself to the Lord.
Give yourself to Jesus. Thank you.
You frown at the woman that has children that she cannot provide food for because that rot gut father walked off and left her with all them children, and now she got to fend for herself, lost her job, and the children are crying. Diapers need to be bought. Milk needs to be purchased. Food needs to be brought into the house, and she has no resources. She can't get the link car. She can't seem to be able to get through it, and so she feels like the only thing I'm left to do is to go out here and sell my body.
Ooh.
And you want to look down at her again. Look at what you were willing to do. Look at what you were willing to do to make ends meet. Stop frowning on people. How would you feel if God walked around and said, you know what, I really don't like you today, so I'm not going to bless you today. Okay, you want to walk around and be arrogant? Fine, I'm going to let you stay arrogant. Okay, now let me see how you're going to make it in your arrogance. Let me see how you're going to make it in your pride. Because if truth were to be told, there are many things, evangelists, saints of God, that we can live without. The one thing you can never, ever live without is God in your life. Because he makes us, he furnishes us with all the things that we need to make life sweet and complete. I love the scripture says when the Jews asked Jesus, why have you come? I come that you might have life. Because apart, autonomous from Christ, you're just existing. But when you meet him and he saves you, you're now redeemed.
Glory.
And now you have life more abundantly. The term abundantly in the Greek means more than enough. A got enough to be happy about. I got enough to rejoice over. I got enough to be thankful for.
Oh.
I got enough to understand I didn't get this on my own.
Hey,
but God
hallelujah.
Was gracious enough to give it to me. That job that you had, there were 50 other people with an application there, but God allowed yours to surface to the top of the step.
Yes,
that's
yes.
called favor.
Favor.
You don't have the credentials. You don't have the experience. You don't have the education. But God says, because you're my child, and I want to bless you.
Ooh.
Because when other folk say, how'd you get that job? You won't say it was luck. You're going to say it's by the grace of God. I've obtained what I have.
Oh,
how you
hallelujah.
Get that car with your jacked up credit? It was the grace of God.
Grace
because
of
when
God.
I sat there with the finance people trying to figure out what my payment was going to be, what my down payment was going to be, then God went over on the other side of the desk and God touched the heart of that financer individual and says, let him get it with no down payment.
Ooh.
Drop the notes down so it's more affordable to them. That's grace. That's faith.
Oh.
That's blessing. So now when you drive in your bright, shiny car, stop blowing your horn at people that are standing on the bus stop trying to get to church on Sunday morning or during the week. Roll over.
Ooh.
If you can, pull over. Put your turn signal on. Pull over and say, yeah, you going to church? Yeah, come on, get on in.
Yes.
Don't expect
yes.
no gas money from them. Don't expect nothing from them, because what God gave you, he didn't give it for you, just for you. He gave it for you to share. You can use that opportunity to encourage somebody. You don't know what in the world nobody's going through with. And if I can be transparent, none of y'all, not nanny one of y'all, the only somebody that really knows what I've had to endure for the past 30 days, it is enough for me to have wanted to go out somewhere and just end it all. But by the grace of God, I'm still here.
Yeah.
Thank you, God.
Body racking with pain 24/7. And just before I came on the air, I'm going to have to testify anyhow. It's been too good. Suffered a migraine headache for 2 weeks, for two straight weeks. And when I finally thought I was over with it, and then here some stuff came today, and the migraine came back, and I called my grandson. I said, you wake Papa up at 2:30 so I can go ahead on and try to do this. I got up, no migraine. That's
Ooh.
Grace.
And get almost, oh, yeah.
Because it's through grace that we experience healing.
Yes, God.
We experience healing. We experience the wealth. We're walking around all cocky. We're talking about, you know, we got that thing twisted too. You know, being healthy even as your soul prosper. Why does God want you to prosper? Do you want you to prosper so that here you got a $2 million home when all you really need is probably one cost about half that much? You could take the other million, look at somebody else's home you could build for somewhere. You walk around and you talk about the government ought to do this and the government ought to do this. Maybe they should, but let's question this. Why did God bless you? Why did God bless you? For you to put it back on the shoulders of the government. The government is not that concerned about our poor and our deprived. If you don't believe it, just look at it.
Ooh.
Here, one of the richest countries in the world, and we have homelessness.
Yes,
we have people eating out of garbage cans. And here you walk around and you go up in McDonald's. You've come out of your favorite restaurants and you're full and your stomach is fat. Your toothpick is in your mouth and you got enough nerve to frown up at somebody. Reach your hand in your pocket with your cheap self and say, here, can I buy you a meal today? Sometimes when I pass by different food places like Burger King, they have 2 for $5. You can't eat both of them. Somebody else. Treat somebody else to something.
My God.
There have been times I've been in the grocery store and I've got all my food and someone is standing behind me and God will turn around and say, buy their food.
Buy their food.
I'd be like, God, are you serious? I'm being transparent. Say, God, are you serious? God said, yes. Buy their groceries. Pay for it. Don't take no credit for it. Just pay for it and walk on out the door. Done that and turn right around and go home and there's a check in the mail. I did not expect.
Thank you, Jesus.
We want to hoard everything. We want to harbor everything to ourselves so we can walk around and tell people, look at how blessed I am, how highly favored I am of God.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
I want to challenge your listening audience today.
Thank you.
That now that you are saved, now proceed to do closet. Grab some of them clothes you know you can't wear no more. They're size 12. I won't tell you what size you are now. You may be greater than a 12, less than a 12, but you know you can't wear that 12. Somebody else would love to have it.
Jesus.
So our blessings that we have received through grace
ought
to humble us to the extent that we can share this good news, this gospel, with someone else. I know my time is up. But I'm happy in my sanctified soul, because I think that the church has got to get back on track.
Hey, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Come in. We strut in now. We're so clean and so sharp, we can't really give God the praise. I remember the time when the saints of God didn't wear nothing but white.
Come on,
came
now.
To church and God would roll them and slam them in the spirit. They'd roll on the floor and get up. It would be a speck of dirt, dust on.
It would be white.
Now you got on all your finery. You got on all your Gucci and all of your finery, your Giorgio Armani, your Valentino, all the top designers. And now when someone says, lift your hands and praise the Lord, you're so arrogant, you're so into yourself, you just throw up one or two fingers and say, praise the Lord.
If
you don't get somewhere and get yourself together, it's a wonder that God don't slap the taste out of my mouth. Humble yourself. Humble. Another element that comes to my mind out of the Greek and the Hebrew terminology of the word humble, because in the Old Testament they are very similar. But in the Old Testament, humble means I'm strong enough to realize where I got my strength from. Strong enough.
Jesus.
Sit down somewhere and cause myself to be abased. Cause myself. Paul is an example. Paul says that all that he had accomplished in life, Pharisee of the Pharisees, the Hebrew of the Hebrew, sat at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the greatest scholars of his day. He had a right. He had a right, as far as he thought, to be arrogant. But when he discovered that he knew God, he knew God according to the law. He was a religious individual. But when he met Jesus, he says, I counted but all dung for the excellency of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
You.
I'm out of here.
Hallelujah.
Here. I can close in prayer.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, we bless the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Timely message is still resonating today. Grace to the humble. We were in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 and 6, and James 4 and 6. God resisted the proud, and he giveth grace to the humble. Amen. Bishop Grant didn't leave a stone unturned. Amen. You know, we're in the holiday season right now, and this is the time when folks put on fake smiles and, you know, go buy presents and run up their credit cards for folks they don't even like, just to say, oh, I gave this to this one and I gave that to that one. But what are you really giving to the Lord? Are you giving him anything this season that he will be pleased with? Hallelujah. Go out and get into all this debt, you know, faking and perpetrating, and, you know, we want to bless somebody else. Well, the Lord is still saying, when are you going to bless me? When are you going to offer up some praises and some thanksgiving to me? We just came out of Thanksgiving season. Now we're going on into Christmas. A bishop just said, you know, we've gotten so proud and so arrogant. God bless us with a home and a car and what have you, and we're comfortable. We're not going to spend no money to go and feed nobody. We're not going to buy any blankets to give to somebody else that may be out in the cold. We all trying to impress one another. Hallelujah. But God said he give grace to the humble. Likewise, he said, ye younger, submit yourselves unto your elders. Yea, all of you be subject one to another.
and be clothed. Clothe yourself with humility this season. Don't worry about a fox hat or a fox suit. Clothe yourself with some humility. Hallelujah. Humble yourself at the mighty hand of God. Hallelujah. He said he giveth, he resisted the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. What a timely, timely message today, I tell you. Hallelujah. Sister Ruby showed me all of these. Had a whole lot of folks in Liberal Democrat sent us a message saying, watch them in the chat room. And they came on here just saying all kind of crazy stuff. We know it was the enemy. Because you know what? He's in direct opposition of every word that we speak on behalf of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's not interested in hearing this word. These demons are real. We don't believe demons are real, but they're real. And to cast out these demons, you need some power. Amen. You, these demons not going to leave when you say, oh, praise the Lord in the name of Jesus. You got to have some authority. You got to have some power to cast out these demons. Amen. I thank God we have a little button on Blog Talk where we can kick them out the chat room and flee, go somewhere else. Amen, amen. So that let me to know that if we weren't doing anything, they wouldn't bother us. The demons only come and bother those folks that have submitted and committed their life to God and that are doing something for the kingdom. Amen. He's not interested. He already got his soldiers. He's trying to recruit some new soldiers. Amen. Mm. He's trying to wear us out. The Bible says he came to wear us out. Hallelujah. But we got to open up the line. This is Blue Monday. We don't have but a few people on the line today. So, amen, amen. I tell you, we're in the season. I was listening to someone yesterday preaching, and they were speaking on, they've never seen so many pastors getting suicide. Amen. And then I just heard on the line this morning, one of the pastors was saying one of the teachers that was under their jurisdiction had committed suicide. So, there's some whispering demons in the land. And the Bible said, whomever you yield your members to, then you become a servant of that. There are seducing spirits, and they're in the land. Amen. Now, you know, some people may say, well, how would a pastor just go and put a gun to his head and shoot himself? Now, he's been preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, you let a demon start whispering in your ear, and you'll do the same thing. So we don't know what caused people to respond. But I know one thing. These demons are real. And if you're not fortified, and if you're not strong, and if you're not listening to the voice of our Lord, amen, you'll give heed to these seducing spirits. Amen. So
that's
I'm
right.
So glad to see my cousin Ronnie on the line, Prophetess Darlene, Patrice. We had a few more on the line that have dropped off, but we're going to go to the main of God. Liberal Democrat, God bless you.
Amen, amen, amen. I was in the chat room and I was like seeing what was going on. Like the song says, "Who can stand before us when we call on that
great name
in the name of Jesus?" Amen. Huh. We got the victory. Amen. And Sister Ruby with that finger on that button. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Kick him out the chat room, the armor bearer. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why I said we got to pray because, amen to God, you know, the Bible tells us, amen to God, that, you know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And that means these people got positions. They are assigned. Certain demons have been assigned over certain ministries to
buffet it.
Amen. So when we call in the lines like this, or before we go in the church, back in the day, we used to have people pray before church services start
to attack those demons
that have been assigned to the ministry. Amen. And we forget that this is a spiritual warfare. So they are assigned to attack this ministry specifically. Amen. That's why, you know, we thank and praise God. Those that call in, amen, and God, pray up before you call into lines or pray before you go into any church or whatever, because there are demons there that seek to buffet you and whatnot, you know. So I thank and praise God. This line, there's some praying people. I remember Prophet Michael Davis preached one time, like, taste and see that the Lord is good. And he said to taste something, you got to get close enough to it. So God reminds us, you got to stay close. Amen. You gotta stay in that Bible. You got to stay on them knees and whatnot, and stay prayed up and whatnot. Keep calling, and even if you don't feel like it, keep calling into this line. Amen to God. Hallelujah. Keep going to church and whatnot, because, amen to God, the devil's trying to catch you slipping. And Robin Collins, amen. So Bishop Grant, God bless you, amen to God, for preaching that message, amen to God, reminding us about grace, amen. Yeah. You know, when we think we're highly minded, we're reminded, you know, therefore the grace of God, that could be us, amen, in that casket, amen, on that street corner, getting evicted. Amen. Mm. So I thank and praise God, amen, for the message, and amen, woman of God, for just allowing us, amen, to have, you know, something to say on this line, giving us opportunity, amen, to testify, amen, to God, and get this rhema word, because this is a rhema word. So God bless you, amen, hallelujah, and keep praying, y'all, because, again, you know, even though we don't have positions or titles, you still in an army, and in an army, you got to fight. Amen. So God bless you.
We got a title. We're soldiers.
All
in
right.
The army of the Lord.
All right now, Holy Ghost.
And so as long as we're soldiers, guess what? We are obligated to fight.
That's right.
We're obligated to fight. I tell you.
Hallelujah, Jesus. My God.
We just thank you all, and again tell you that, you know, the praise-a-thon. Liberal Democrat, the man of God, have put up all of those that spoke, even Ronnie. Ronnie, you on YouTube. Hallelujah. She prayed and sung a bless that wonderful name of Jesus for us. And
yes,
that's
God.
On YouTube, so you can go, Prophetess Darlene. He have all those messages on YouTube, I tell you. So we just thank God for that. And I tell you, as long as we're standing on the front lines, amen. You can't stand on the front line and think you won't get hit. Hey, glory to God, but somebody said you can't hit a moving target. So we got to keep it moving. We got to keep on moving.
Mm.
We can't be deterred. We can't be discouraged. And we can't be distracted. God is looking for us to have our eyes open. He want our vision to be 20/20. Amen. Mm. Where we can see, amen, they're able to smell the enemy before he even approach. Hallelujah.
All right. Thank you,
Jesus. Prophetess Darlene, God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I was truly blessed by the message on today. And I begin to think, just to piggyback on what y'all were saying, I'm my only child, but I remember when people used to tell me when they had sisters and brothers or that they have sisters and brothers, and they would let nobody pick on their sisters and brothers. But we in the army, like y'all were saying, and we cannot let anyone pick on our sister or our brother. We
have to
pray for our brothers and our sisters. It's an army going. It's a fight. You can let nobody jump your brother, nobody jump your sister, nobody jump your aunt, your uncle, your mother, your father. So, come on, we family. We got to fight. You know, when you see one down, pick them up and begin to pray for them. As I heard the message, I began to think about grace, and it's nothing that we did or could do that was so great. I thank God. When I begin to think on his message, I begin to think more reasons why I need to thank God all the time. We may be going through something. We may be going through a trial, a tribulation, but this test, this trial, this tribulation will pass. We got to keep on praising God. We got to
bless God
in season and out of season. And when you see your brother was out or your sister was out, you to bless them.
Mm.
As the word was saying on today, God didn't give us these gifts. Hallelujah. He didn't give us these blessings, these homes or whatever you may have for nothing. You know, it may be for you to take someone in that home. It may be for you to bless someone with that extra car that you have.
My Lord, my Lord.
So look and ask God, what do I do with all this? What would you have me do? What will you have me go? What will you have me say? Because it's not about us. Because all of us wanted to give up a long time ago. Some of us, if it wasn't because of God and his mercy, we would be gone. I know I would have been back out in the world doing my own thing the way I wanted, but it's not about me. So I ask God to keep me humble, never let me be prideful, because there's nothing that I have. He gave it to me. And if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. So y'all remember that. Love. Show love. It ain't about whether you feel like showing love. Love is every day, every night, every evening, every morning. We have to show love, because if it was like the man of God said, if God treated us like we treat him and treat them and our sisters and brothers, where will we be? Remember that. God is looking down upon us. We're so worried about places and things. We're so worried about what the brother going to say about us, what the bishop going to say about us, what the pastor going to say. What is God saying about you? Is he pleased with our lives? And I know he's not pleased with some of the things we do and how we walk over people, how we talk about people. Remember, it's your sister. It's your brother. It's your father. It's the body of Christ. Come together as one. As one mind, one accord. And let God be pleased with your life today.
Lord, I bless you.
Into what he wants me to be. Because it's all about him and not
about
us.
That's right.
And I love y'all.
Amen, amen. That's the word, Prophetess Darlene. And I tell you, as we begin to close out, look to the closing of this year, and to embark upon a new year, we got to get some things right. And we got to, it's all about mindset. It's all about mindset. And if we never elevate our minds, and we always mindful of the scripture, Romans 12, 1 and 2, where the Lord said, I beseech you therefore, brother, and Apostle Paul was writing to the churches, I beseech you therefore, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Once we can get out of trying to impress other folks, especially when you mature, I'm a 15-year, 20-year veteran. I'm calling them veterans because they've been in church, they've been in the Word. I don't expect you to act like somebody that just came off the street. Amen.
That's right.
Have been rooted and grounded, and it's upon us to teach and to help and give direction to those that's just coming in. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
You don't give no baby a full course meal. Hallelujah.
That's right.
They barely can suck the milk when they come out the womb. Now, how you going to start feeding them something before the set time? Amen, amen. But many of us, like Bishop Grant preached today, grace to the humble, we got to come out of ourselves, people of God. And this is the season where God is looking at, what are you doing being assistant to your fellow man? If you're not willing to serve, and that's what it is, we want to get these titles because we want to be served. But Jesus said the greatest in the kingdom is the servant. The servant is the greatest. Amen. You got to have a mind to serve. We want to wear all these big titles where folks can lift us up and put us on the pedestal. Oh, Jesus, that's why he said don't put your confidence in the arm of flesh. Amen. You better trust God and trust his word. Amen. You better serve somebody. Amen. Ooh, it ain't about us this season. If we could just to get the mind to serve, get the mind to be diligent, get the mind to be faithful to whatever God has given you to do. If you faithful in that.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord.
He said, if you're faithful over few, I'll make you ruler over many. We won't even be faithful to just reading the scripture every day. And we expect God to open up the floodgates of heaven? Come on. He can only open up those floodgates, to those that are faithful over the few. Be faithful with the little that you have. And God can take that little and make much. Ronnie, God bless you today, sweetie. How you doing?
God
Verona?
Bless you all. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
God
I tell
bless you.
I am so full. I came in. You saw where I came in at.
Mm-hmm.
I was not really sure if I was going to be able to get on the line. But, you know, as I've been saying, I've been trying to walk in divine purpose, and I just thank God for
divine
his faithfulness.
Divine purpose. I like that.
Of making me to be obedient to his voice when he speaks to my heart.
All right.
So I went on and called. Able to call, and I didn't think I was going to be able to have something to say, but after that rhema, rich word I heard, I had to. I said, oh, God, oh, Lord, I just was almost beside myself with just thanking God for confirmation of that I am in the vein of God in my thinking, because that word was lining up with what I know God has been speaking in my spirit. I believe that is part of the wind that is blowing in this hour. That at the end of the day, at the root of everything, it is love.
Jesus.
So what I said, as you were just talking, Adrian, and I'm listening to, I was just enjoying everything that has been said from Prophetess Darlene, from a liberal Democrat, and I was just listening and just meditating in it and just absorbing it, and also let me not forget what the man of God had preached that I came in and listened to from him to everyone and yourself included that has been saying, I begin to think of this. As you were talking about the veterans, I begin to think in my spirit, God began to bring it to me when he told the disciples to launch out into the deep.
Go ahead.
And God had been dealing with me with that. But I got from God about that. And he said, and my spirit had begun to come to me. He said, and this is what he's been dealing with me with. Launch out into the deep. Now, when you go, you think of the ocean. Think of the ocean. On the surface, it can be calm, but when you go into the depth, now this is my point I'm making here.
My Lord.
You say about the veteran. We are in here now with the now, and then I'm going back to what the preacher was preaching about when we get cleaned up and looking at other people like we forgot where we came from. Now,
what
I'm saying in that is we're cleaned up on the surface because the surface is calm.
It's
messed up. Don't you hear me? Deep, when you go beyond that calm surface on the sea and you go down into the deep, you begin to find where the turbulence is. In other words, when you look down in yourself and you see that junk and garbage and all that mess and stuff, where the mess is and the turbulence of the soul is that only God can get you. He wants us to go in that word and look. Go in the deep places of God to search yourself.
Search yourself.
And I just thank him today. I thank him for giving me the mind and helping us. I see it as I'm looking that he's helping not just me, the people of God, that we got to understand that it is nothing of ourselves. He loved us just because. Why can't we do the same thing? When we're talking about we are Christ-like. Oh, God, I thank you. But, I just thank him. I thank him for everything, this word today. I praise him. I thank him for this radio broadcast. I thank him for you, Evangelist Bernard, Adrian, my cousin. I thank him for the people God, that are speaking on this live. I just thank God because he's so faithful.
We're going to have testimonies around. Hallelujah.
And then
I would as she's saying that, as you were saying that, speaking about launching out in the deep, Ron, and what have you, that's what God put in my spirit, that we need to testify of God's goodness. And even with Bishop yeah. Brett talking about how so soon we are to forget. Ah, hallelujah. But the scripture.
That's right.
Minister Burns them used on Saturday on their Saturday morning programs in Revelation say, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You know, we don't even have testimony.
Oh, yeah.
Church.
We don't have no testimony no more.
No, everything is programmed. So
help us,
really,
Lord.
We don't invoke the presence of God in the churches anymore. We got a set order, and that's the order we follow. Well, sometimes God want to speak, and he said, forget your order. Let me in the day. I want to speak, and I want to have my way. Let the saints get up and testify. Glory to God. Let them tell our goodness.
We have shut God out.
Yes.
We talk about it's not the first time, Adrian. It's not the first time.
Mm.
But that's why I'm saying God is so merciful. We've been through this season. I have known, but I put it this way, and we know it, you know it yourself, but I was raised from a baby in this.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen it before.
Mm-hmm.
It's not new, but the mercies of God, he keeps being merciful to us.
Yeah. My Lord.
And I feel the wind of God in a fresh wind that he's trying to say, let me in. He said, if any man, I'm knocking at the door.
Thank you, Lord.
We got to do is let him in.
He's going
to fuck with us.
Mm.
And he will give us eye staff. In other words, he will clean up what we have messed up again.
Jesus. Glory.
So, this is what you're saying, God is faithful.
He's faithful.
He's just so faithful. He's merciful in his grace.
Hallelujah.
Oh, my God.
Well, we thank you.
I thank you today.
We're celebrating this second year anniversary, and we're going to, I just feel, as you all were just speaking, the Lord said, let them testify. So we'll be testifying. We'll have testimonials this week. I'm just happy. I'm excited about what God is doing. I'm excited about where he's taking us. I'm excited about what God is going to do. Amen. But we got to always be mindful of what he has done. And when we can think on what God has done, amen, that in itself makes us more grateful, more appreciative of what we know he is going to do. Amen. So I'm going to Sister Ruby. Woo, Lord, I feel like liberal Democrat today. I feel churchy up in here.
All right now.
Thank on the goodness of Jesus. Hey, glory. You know, you don't have to wait till another
Hallelujah.
Year. You can praise God for what he's doing right now.
Hallelujah.
He's
so worthy.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. Hallelujah, Lord.
Fox night service. I don't have to wait till January the 1st, 2004.
Come on.
And think about what he's doing right now in this hour. If it had not been for the Lord, who was on my side, I don't know where I'd be going. Glory to God. Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory
thank
to
you,
God. God. Thank you. Hallelujah. Jesus, thank you. Grace to the humble. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everybody. This was a blessed word.
Thank
and I was just standing here. Praise the Lord, everybody. When I was badging Adrian, I said, this written my spirit, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has has done for me. My soul cries out, hallelujah. I praise God for saving me. Hallelujah. I just thank Bishop Jesse Grant for his word. This was truly anointed. And I've been sitting here at the chat room and fighting them demons. And one thing about it, the Lord always sends somebody, especially Liberal Democrat, because he's always he comes on the chat room and say, let the redeemer of the Lord say so. So he found out and said, watch them, because they're on there. And, I mean, it was like, about 18 or 19 of them, bombard. And you just had to kick them off. So I just thank Jesus Christ, for he always got somebody watching over the broadcast and you and everything. And the anointing is all over there. So I just praise the Lord for being merciful and kind to us. You know, I said to myself, you know, I'm a witness, so I'm a street walker. I'm a street witness. So I know that I pick them up and take them down. I say, Lord, as he was that word, I say, Lord, I thank you for the ministry that you gave me when I got saved. You know, outreach work out there, yes, in the hedges and the highway and all the areas where people don't go. They be killing up folks that I be having to track till I come to Jesus. So I say, Lord, I
all right.
That anointing that he put in me to be an outdoor outreach individual. And not only witness, I go get them and bring them in and don't ask for a dime. I say, Lord, all I ask you to do is keep my car up and running with me gas money. Because when you get precious people out there, you don't know their situation, you don't know anything, and all I want them to be his hands, his feet, and to show Jesus and the love that's in me to give to them. So I just thank the Lord. I said, Lord, I just thank you for this outreach ministry. I haven't been out there in a few months. I said, Lord, you know I'm ready to get to that seaman and out there in the highway. So I just thank the Lord for y'all and Prophetess Darlene Davis, especially Minister Liberal Democrat and Sister Roni and everybody in the chat room Broad Talk. I mean, I just thank it. It's just been a blessing. And then I just heard the Lord give evangelist instruction about testimony. Isn't that exciting, Saint? Amen. Praise
God. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We're kicking it off. Kicking it off. Amen. Amen. I just want to thank you all, too, those of you that have went on this fast with us. I tell you, this is our winding down week. Amen. Amen. Sunday will be our last day for this 21-day fast, but mark your calendar because we're coming back on January the 4th. We're going to cleanse our heart. We're going to purify, and we're going to kill this. We're going to crucify this flesh. That's what's going to happen. I tell you, as we continue to crucify this,
we're going to be helpers one to another.
All right. Amen. But the only way we could be helpers one to another, we have to kill this flesh. This flesh has to be crucified. These members have to be mortified. Amen. So we're looking. I'm excited about this. I'm happy about it. You know, sometimes you're fasting and you're sad, and folks see you out and they wonder, why you look so sad? But you know what? I'm rejoicing in my spirit, honey. I don't have a sad bone in my spirit. Because guess what? I know one thing, that God is a rewarder to those, he said, that diligently seek him. And you can't deny this flesh. You can't go down in sackcloth and ask. Hey, you know no more, sire. You can't your mind by the way of remembrance, and God don't do something special for you. So I'm excited about this thing. So January the 5th, that's a Sunday. Amen. And most of us are in church all day on Sundays anyway. So we're going back on it. So, you know, I'm looking for this year, 2014, to be a year of denial. When you can deny yourself, amen, Jesus told him, pick up your cross, hallelujah, and follow me. Forget about your kin folks. Forget about what you're leaving behind. He said, you're following the master. Hallelujah. You're following somebody that can do anything. Amen. He'll give you life and that more abundantly. So I'm excited about this fast. We just thank God for you all that have made the sacrifice to go on this fast, look for your blessing. Amen. Look for your blessing each and every day. I heard liberal Democrat talk about his hazelnut. Amen. Hallelujah. But God got something greater than that hazelnut. Glory to God.
Hey, come on.
You just stink on his goodness. Amen.
All right.
And you can feel yourself being fed. Hallelujah. He said, stir it up, stir it up. You feel something bubbling on the inside. Woo! Can't nobody, the songwriter say, can't nobody do me like Jesus. You know that's true?
That's right.
We're going to have some testimonies for the rest of this week, and maybe we'll have a couple of people to do some sermonettes and just tag team, and however the Lord lead us this week, that's the way we going to go. Amen. I wasn't even up to calling nobody, inviting nobody on, so I say, well, this is going to be a month of rest. The Lord told me that. He said, get some, you can rebroadcast some of these messages.
That's right.
I got to work so hard this month. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Been going back through our log. I tell you, today is the sixth. What is today? Today is the 670th episode. Over 66,000 listeners as of today as we open this up. So if we got 600 and some odd messages, why need to be laboring trying to call somebody to speak fresh? You know, that was a rebroadcast, Ronnie. And our prophetess, Darlene, and liberal Democrat. That was a rebroadcast. Bishop Grant ministered that in June of this year. So I was looking at a few, and I didn't want people to think I was, you know, being prejudiced. I was looking at one Dr. Singleton preached too, but we had him last week. So I said, let's go on. Let's get Bishop Grant on today, but the rest of the week it'll be live. We're gonna let the Lord have his way. Okay? Amen.
Oh,
so
well,
right.
You know, I'm a Adrian.
Before we dismiss, I'm gonna have liberal Democrat to pray. We wanna keep evangelist Earlene Cummins up in our prayers. Amen. And also special prayer for the families, for those four pastors that committed suicide this year. We want to remember that family. Amen. And even those that are depressed and going through this holiday season, God would touch them and give them mercy, and somebody would show them some love where people won't just feel alone during this holiday season. So we're going to ask the man of God to, anybody else have any prayer requests before he come forward? Amen. So remember that. I want you all to remember my son also in your prayers, and my sister. Amen. Prophet Michael Lewis just posted something about the mandatory minimum sentencing. If you're on Facebook and if you can go on and sign that petition that he has in place, please do that. I'm looking for God to bring my sister home this coming year. I'm really looking for that. So we're going to ask liberal Democrat to pray before we dismiss. Amen.
Amen. Lord, in the name of Jesus right now, God, hallelujah. Every head bowed, hallelujah. Amen, God, right now. We pray, oh God, that you change the atmosphere, oh God, hallelujah, God. Hallelujah. We taking the atmosphere with us, oh God, hallelujah, God. Hallelujah. Just like when the astronauts, amen, when they go to space, God, they bring air with them, oh God. Hallelujah. We in strange territory, God. Hallelujah. The saints are finding themselves under attack, oh God. Hallelujah. We in strange places. We are in prisons, oh God. We are in hospitals, oh God. Hallelujah, oh God. But just like that astronaut, oh God, brings the atmosphere with him so he can still breathe, oh God. Hallelujah. When he's in a strange place, oh God. From this prayer, God, hallelujah, we pray right now, God, that they can take this prayer with them in the prisons, oh God, in the hospitals, oh God, right now. Find, oh God, hallelujah, Sister Cummings, oh God, in the name of Jesus, God, even now, God. God, as she is in that strange atmosphere, oh God. Hallelujah. Let her take this prayer right now, God, that she can, oh God, find, oh God, a way to, amen, to God, exist, oh God, and to still praise you, oh God, in the midst of being in a strange atmosphere in a hospital, oh God. Hallelujah. Send your angels, oh God. Hallelujah. She can still breathe, oh God, like she out of space, oh God. Oh God, you say, oh God, the atmosphere, you with us wherever we go, God. Hallelujah, God. Right now, God, go with them, oh God. Go with, oh God, amen, oh God, the evangelist sister, oh God. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, oh God, find her right now, God. Hallelujah, God. Go with Danielle, God, oh God. Hallelujah. She's in a strange place, oh God. Hallelujah. Like out of space, God. Like them astronauts take the air with them, oh God. Oh God, let them take this prayer, God. Let this prayer find them, oh God, and give them strength, oh God. Hallelujah, oh God. Let the angels find them, oh God, and change their atmosphere, oh God. In the name of Jesus, oh God. Those that's on this line, oh God, even now, God, the mandatory minimums, oh God. Oh God, we know there's a changing of the tide coming, oh God. Hallelujah, oh God, but not just change the law for those, oh God, now, God. But oh God, let the law be retroactive when it changes, oh God. Oh God, that it can affect those who've been locked up before the law changed, oh God. Hallelujah, oh God. Let, oh God, those, oh God, that have been locked up, oh God, get released, oh God, and let them come to you, oh God. Hallelujah, as a result of it, oh God. Lord, that you changing things, oh God. We pray this prayer right now, God. Those that's on the line that's listening, oh God. Hallelujah. They are in a strange place right now, God. They are out of space, oh God, spiritually, God, and they need to bring their air with them, oh God, in the situation that they're in. Many of them are under financial attack, oh God. Many of them, oh God, are under, oh God, attack of their bodies. Oh God, but let them take, oh God, this prayer in that atmosphere where they are, oh God. Let them take this prayer, God, in that jail. Let them take this prayer in that hospital, God. Let them take this prayer, God, in that financial crisis, oh God, that they can get through it, oh God, to know that just a little while, God, and this time will pass, God, and they'll make it to their new season. We pray right now there'll be no backlash, no retaliation, oh God, for the prayer warriors on this phone, God. Hallelujah. When they come under attack, God, that you be a fence encamped around them with your angels. We pray this prayer right now, God. Hallelujah. From this prayer, God, that we will take it into our atmosphere. Oh, God, that this prayer, God, that everyone on the line pray. You said two or three gathered in your name, God. Oh, God, that's a lot of air that we can take to, oh, God, our next situation, God. Hallelujah. Right now, God, we claim every soul under the sound of our voice, oh, God, right now, God. Hallelujah. As a soldier, God. Oh, God, and we ask that you protect your soldiers, oh, God, with the right armor that they need for the right situation that they're prepared that will go, that they're coming against them. We pray this prayer right now in your name, oh, God. Oh, God, now, by power nor by might. Oh, God, but by your spirit, God.
Oh,
hallelujah. Let us take this prayer into that next atmosphere. We hang up this phone. I don't know what's going to be the atmosphere, God. It might be a prison. It might be a hospital, God. It might be a bad situation, God. But let us take this prayer into that atmosphere like the astronaut takes his air to space. We pray this prayer right now in Jesus' name. And somebody said amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh,
we
also thank you even
now. Lift up Bishop Winston Singleton and his wife, and lift up
Jesus,
former presiding bishop, Bishop Alfred Singleton. Hallelujah. His
Jesus,
family
Jesus.
And Lancet. Hey, glory
hallelujah,
to God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Prophet
oh, even now, God.
Lord God, we asking you to intervene
right
now, God.
Right.
We asking you to strengthen Bishop Alfred, God. Touch his body, God.
Hallelujah.
Touch his legs. We pray for strength right now, God. Strength right now in the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah. Regulate his sugar, God. His blood pressure, God, everything in the
Jesus.
Name of Jesus.
Divine
oh, God,
help, God.
Touch
divine
Dr. Winston
help.
Singleton this morning. Bless his father, Bishop Singleton, and his mother. God, hallelujah, continue to strengthen and keep him in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, and I bring Prophetess Theodora Glover before you, God. Hallelujah, you know our situation,
God. Call
her
name out,
God.
Even now, God.
God, we're asking you to open up doors for God. Hey, Hallelujah. God. In the name of Jesus, grant every request that she has put before you, God. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. Hallelujah. Thank God for Sister Ruby.
Jesus.
My mother, God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Remember my son, God. Oh, God, touch his mind this season, God. Oh, you don't know, Moshe. Give him a new mind. Oh, you don't know, Moshe. Give him a new mind this season, God. Hallelujah. Let him surrender to you, God.
Yes.
Oh, I'm praying
yes,
for my
God.
Son,
yes,
God.
God.
Hey, you don't know, Moshe. Hallelujah. Now all those men that are incarcerated, all over the nation, God, remember their families, God. Touch them. Let them know that they're not forgotten about God. Oh, let them know that they're loved, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, remember those that don't have shelter today, God. Those that are homeless, those that don't have coats and don't have anything to put on, God. Oh, God, you said if you take care of the lilies of the field, surely you will take care of those that are yours. Hallelujah. We bless you, God, and we give you glory. We give you praise, God. Remember Minister Aaron Singleton, God.
Yes,
continue
God.
To touch him, God. Touch his heart, God. Strengthen him,
Lord,
God, in the name of Jesus. We bless you today, God. Thank you for Prophetess Darlene. Hey, yo, bless our prayer line, God. Bless the workings of our hands, God. Hallelujah. Keep her with a clear vision, God. Oh, with an ear to hear what thus say the Lord. Don't let her be intimidated, God. Don't let her be afraid, God. Oh, but let her walk. With the sincereness of heart, God. And she can speak. Open up new doors for God. Hallelujah. Introduce her to the new technology, God. She can preach and teach this gospel, God. Remember Verona, God. Remember our daughters, Jennifer and Alice, God. And everything that you put in our heart to do this season, God. Let them not have any excuses, God. But let them look to you. And you go open up some doors for God. You go make some waves, God. Help us not to fight this battle, God. Hallelujah. But help us to entrust you with it. Entrust you with our cares. But you said many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them out of them. Help us not to get weary, God. For you said in due season we would reap if we faint not, God. We thank you for everyone
that
come on this radio broadcast, those that we've seen and those that we haven't seen, God. Remember each and every one of them name by name and one by one, God. Visit them this season, God. Hallelujah. Those that are fasting, God, we asking you to continue to touch them, strengthen them, God, in every petition, every request that they have before you, God. Grant it according to your riches, according to your glory. Hallelujah. According to what you know of them, God. In the name of Jesus, God, we thank you for the man of God and all the work that he has done on behalf of this ministry, God. We asking you to open up the floodgates of heaven for him, God. Oh, God, increase.
Hallelujah, Lord. Even now, God.
Oh, God, some of us don't want no exposure. Some of us like to be in the background. Hallelujah. But God told me last season, some that was in the background was coming to the foreground. Hallelujah. And he's still doing that. God will make a seat just for you. Hallelujah. All you got to do is stay faithful. All you got to do is stay focused.
Hallelujah.
There's a seat for you. God will make room just for you. Hallelujah.
All right.
Thank you, Jesus. I bless him. Those of you that's able to go on YouTube, amen, you can go and visit our Twitter page at New Destiny 54. Amen. Put the at sign, New Destiny 54, and you'll be able to go in and see the clips from all of those that ministered on the Praise-a-thon, even Roni. When I see Roni, it's about a 6.5 minute clip, Roni. Hallelujah. You
what?
Well, you prayed and you sung a song. And Liberal Democrat have all those things on the YouTube clip. So we're just excited. Amen. God is doing something, people of God. God is doing something. Hey, you know, we're not doing it, because if God didn't give us the wisdom and the knowledge, we couldn't get anything done. Hallelujah. So we give him all the glory. We give him all the praise. Hey, I don't know about I heard Ronnie say divine connection, and that's what God is doing. He's divinely connecting us to people where we can all be blessed, where we can all continue to minister to souls. Souls are dying. Amen. Continue to pray for Pastor Hamilton. Amen. And the work that he's given him in that region of the land. Amen. We'll see you all back on the line. Remember, we're going to have testimonies this week. So, hey, you're going to have about 10 or 15 minutes to testify. To testify of God's goodness, not yours. We won't hear what the Lord is doing. Amen. We can always talk about what we're doing, but we want to hear some testimonies on what God is doing. So we may play a clip or two from some of our previous broadcasts, and then we'll see who's on the line for the rest of the week, and we're going to govern ourselves accordingly. Amen. So God bless you all. Amen. I'm going to close on out with Tamla May, and I can only imagine. I love that one. She done took me from Take Me to the King to I Can Only Imagine. Amen. Where is it? Is some? You got it? All right, all right. So,
can you imagine?
Hallelujah,
imagine
Mama Ruby.
For the King. Oh.
Stop it, Darlene.
I can
Caroline, we'll have another announcement on tomorrow.
What
Amen.
It be like in our
world. By your side, I can only imagine. What my eyes see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. I could only imagine to be surrounded by your
extra stuff.
She ain't sung that one.
Who?
Not that. Take Me to the King, because Kirk Franklin wrote that one.